اللهم الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. نعم تفضل.
Islam is very simple and straightforward religion. What customs are also practiced in the amals of life, in marriages, in, also in Hajj, when you come back to the friend, you should be giving family gifts, and also like a dawah. This is very simple religion we have. How should we be stopping our family members that we shouldn't be practicing outside?
By, the brother is asking about some wrong practices which is related to religion, if one comes from Hajj, they insist that he brings some gifts or food from there that they can consider as barakah, blessings, or purification, or like that. First of all, I don't assume that they mean that it is a blessing of Hajj itself. Rather that it's a blessing because it is from Mecca and Medina. In this case, we don't hustle about bring some gifts. They say that Abdullah ibn Mubarak, the famous Imam, used whenever he wants to go for Hajj, he used to announce that in his area, Maru, in between Iran and Afghanistan today, an area called Maru, and he would come to him, everybody with a bag of money, and he writes the names of them on the bag and save it, and he say, you come on this particular day. So they move to Mecca, and once they finish, he is sent on the whole journey. And once they finish Hajj, he say, everybody get a gift or gifts to his family. Because people like to get some gifts from Mecca. And this is one of the things that Allah mentioned in Ayat of Hajj, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ, which is to sell and buy things, So, don't forget this. So they used to buy these things and take it with them to their homeland, and once they return, he give them some days and then announce again, all those who performed Hajj come for me. So they come and then he return the bags as is, as tied, as sealed. A kind of generosity from him. He was very rich, rahimahullah, scholar and rich. But the important thing in this story is that he used to tell them, go and buy gifts to your families. No problem to buy gifts and bring gifts. But what is not a correct practicing is that once the Hajji come, he is always be called Hajji Muhammad. Hajji Muhammad, and when he says something, our son, when you go back, tell your father Hajji Muhammad say salam. Well, Hajji Muhammad, is it now a title like a doctor, like an engineer, he finished and he graduated or what? I don't know. And the other thing is that some other the family members gather and celebrate his arrival. This type of gathering, although I never heard of the like in the Salaam, but I don't know if it is allowed or not. I don't know if it is allowed or not. Better not to be done. But I think they do it because their father, their uncle, just came from a journey. And this used to start long ago, when the journey of Hajj used to be, for example, from India to Mecca and back again, not less than 6 months. And this is normal, when you will be away from your family for 6 months, 1 year, they would prefer when you come, they call all the members of the family and make a dinner or something like that to show the happiness, which is, I never hear that it is haram. Allah Alam. Allah, you know, overspending, if they are, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, yunfiq bi sa'atin min sa'atih. Let the one who's rich to spend as a rich person, who's poor, rich, spend as a rich. Yani, it's not logic that, yani, he's a millionaire and he go to, yani, a small restaurant or. We don't want to stick too much to that, yani. We say it is better to spend fi sabilillah. He has millions and he say, okay, I spend 1 million. Can I spend 1,000 for this? Oh, no, no, no. This is the rest of mine. I say it is better to be than left. But, yani, this is how people live. Allahu alam. I don't want to give. I'm not a person to give fatwa, but I'm just expressing my experience from, yani, what I hear from the ulama. طيب انا امس واحد نبانا ونسينا اليوم. طيب نلخص هذا السؤال. والسؤال يسأل عن الناس يذهبون الى الحج واذا رجعوا يأتون بهدايا معهم من مكة ومن المدينة, ويعني يقول يعني هل هذا يعني مشروع او غير مشروع؟ قلنا هذا لا بأس فيه, وجئنا بأدلة مثل قول الله عز وجل ليشهدوا منافع لهم, وأيضا مثل ما فعل عبد الله بن مبارك أنه كان يأخذ الناس إلى الحج وهناك يقول لهم عند العودة اشتروا هدايا لأهليكم, فهذا لا بأس فيه, والأصل فيه الحل, لأن هذا ليس عبادة. ليس المقصود يعني أنهم يتعبدون بشراء الأشياء في مكة, لكن المقصود أنه يأتي بالشيء يفرح أهله به, وهذا لا بأس به. وأما المسألة الثانية هو أن يعملوا له حفلة إذا رجع. إذا كانت الحفلة من أجل يعني أنه أنهى الحج وكذا, هذا لا يجوز. أنا ما ذكرت هذا بالإنجليزي سأذكره أيضا. As in regard to the party that his family make for him when he returns from Hajj, if this is with the intention that, oh, he performed Hajj, we make yani celebration for it, this is bid'ah, this is haram. لكن يعني إذا كان كما قلت أول بالإنجليزي أنه من أجل سفره وعودته سالما يحتفلون به, فهذا لا بأس, خاصة في الأيام القديمة كان الناس إذا ذهبوا الحج رحلة الحج تستغرق 6 أشهر سنة, ليست أمرا يسيرا مثل اليوم. لكن وإذا كان لهم عادة أن الإنسان إذا سافر ورجع يحتفلون يعني يعملون حفل لأنه رجع بالسلامة, إن شاء الله هذا ما في بأس. إذا كان من العادة ليس المقصود به يعني أن هذا من الدين, وإن كان يعني الفرح بسلامة المسلم من الدين, لكن كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يسافر ويرجع ولم يكونوا يعملون له حفلة أو كذا وليمة أو كذا. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to travel and return back, and the Sahaba did not used to make any party for him. نعم. فيعني الأولى تركوا, الأولى تركوا, والله أعلم.
Only there was a question. Somebody works, he has a business, a coffee shop or something, and all these customers, when they come in, they greet him with Happy Merry Christmas at this time of the year specifically. How should he reply? What should he say to
hello
him?
Well, what should he say? If he says Happy Christmas or Merry Christmas, then he's guilty. He's guilty because this Christmas is not, it is not from the religion of Christianity. Rather, even if it is from the religion of Christianity, Christianity is, you know, abrogated by Islam. يعني يقول الناس الذين يأتونه بالمحل هم يقولون Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, ماذا يقول لهم؟ أنا قلت يقول لهم Hello, how are you? good morning, أي حاجة ليست إجابة لتلك. نعم، لأن هذا ليس يعني أولا هم يقولون دينا وهو محدث حتى في دينهم، ودينهم كله قد نسخ بظهور الإسلام، فلا يصح أن نهنئ أحدا بشيء من دينه إلا في الإسلام إذا ثبت في الإسلام. يعني we're not allowed to greet or respond to any greeting if it is a religious greeting except what is proved in Islam. حتى في الإسلام، حتى في الإسلام. أنا ذكرت هذا مرارا في خطب وكذا ودروس. I mentioned this many times in خطب and دروس. يعني كثيرا ما يأتيني رسائل يوم الجمعة، جمعة مباركة، جمعة مباركة، جمعة مباركة. هذا من أين؟ And many times I received text messages in, on my mobile say blessed Friday, blessed Friday. يعني where is this from؟ هل كانت الجمعة موجودة في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ Was the Jum'ah day known to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم or not؟ طيب هل كانوا يهنئون بعضا بالجمعة؟ Where did they used to greet each other for Jum'ah or يعني celebrate like that؟ إذا لم يفعل لماذا نفعل نحن؟ If they did not used to do, why we do it؟ وأفضل شيء يا إخوان في الحج، في الجمعة، في رمضان، في أول السنة، في الحج، أفضل شيء أنك تلتزم ما كان السلف يفعله. The best thing in all these occasions, whether جمعة أو رمضان أو حج أو يعني the beginning of the year, the best thing to do is stick to yourself to what the Salaf used to do. Meaning the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Sahaba. Did they used to celebrate? Did they used to congratulate? Did they used to greet for it? If not, why you do it? إن لم يكونوا إن لم يكونوا قد فعلوا ذلك لماذا تفعلوا؟ الخير كل الخير في اتباع من سلف، والشر كل الشر في ابتداء من خلف. All the goodness is in the way of the past predecessors. And all the evil is in the way of the ones who came later. Wallahu a'lam. طيب بعد هذا ناخذ سؤال من هنا سؤال من هنا حتى نوفي لأنها من أمس. يعني after this question we'll take one from me and one from you. So we can finish because this is from yesterday. Now.
I was listening to a talk from one of the brothers on there, and he mentioned that when the anonymous came to Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to him, good morning.
And good morning.
And the problem
was, there English at the time?
It was in Arabic.
Okay.
Ali is not that they're saying, we have a better salam than this, we have assalamu alaikum. Yeah. So on that basis, can someone say that it's not permissible to say good morning to Muslims?
لا لا that's يعني a Muslim said to a Muslim and the Muslim man يعني when the Prophet this was the greeting of Quraysh before Islam عن صباحا وعن مساء نعم and like good morning like good evening so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told the Sahaba what Allah Ta'ala gave them as a replacement to this. And then he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِذَا مَنْ بَدَأَكُمْ بِالْكَلَامِ قَبْلَ السَّلَامِ فَلَا تُجِيبُونَ Whoever begins you with a speech before giving you salam, then don't respond to his speech. And also, أيضا, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَجْلِسِ فَلْيُسَلِّمْ وإذا قام فليسلم فليست الأولى بحق من الثانية. صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if one of you enters to a sitting, he then should say السلام عليكم. And if he wants to leave that sitting, he should say السلام عليكم because the first does not have more right than the second. Yeah. So he taught us. And he وأيضا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علمنا قال يسلم الراكب على الماشي والماشي على القاعد والكبير على الصغير والواحد على الاثنين والاثنين على الثلاثة. إذا أسلمت تنقص لإتيكيتس أوف سلام. The one who's riding gives salam to the one who's walking. The one who's walking gives salam to the one who's standing. The one who's standing gives salam to the one who's sitting. And the one gives salam to the two. And the two gives salam to the three. والصغير يسلم على الكبير. And the young gives salam to the oldest. فهذا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علمنا كل هذا من أجل السلام. من أجل السلام. لكن كافر تقول له I have a better, يعني a cavalry tell him, I have a better greeting than what you said. If you say salam alaikum, then you must say salam alaikum. Unless if they have some يعني, type of advantage يعني, that they want. Like Obama when he came to Egypt to say assalamu alaikum. And after that, the salam means peace, and after that, there was no peace.
A question, Sheikh, there's two questions in one. Is it permissible for women to cover their feet during Salah? Number three, what is the reason?
Is it permissible?
Permissible. Second question, what are the rulings on contraception, i.e. using pills to prevent pregnancy for a short term? And third question, is
So if I keep answering the first question, then I forget the second. In regard to the coverage of women in the Salah, she has to cover all of her body, except for the face and hands, if she is not at the presence of non-mahram men. And if she is at the presence of mahram men, she has to cover even her face. Like if she is praying, for example, in the Masjid al-Haram, there is no privacy in the Masjid al-Haram, not like in Masjid al-Nabawi. In Masjid al-Nabawi, privacy for women. But in Masjid al-Haram, there is no privacy, which is not allowed to uncover, because then it causes fitna to the men. Now, cause fitna to the men. But if she's in her house or in the ladies' section in the masjid or anywhere where no stranger men can see her, then she has to uncover her face and in her hands only. Feet, it's not permissible, but it is obligatory to cover. It's obligatory to cover her feet, all of the body, except for face and hands. Allah. Second?
What are the rules of contraception? Using the pill to prevent pregnancy for a short term.
If it is for a short term, نحن ما ترجمنا يا شيخ الله المستعان, نسينا العرب زين على بلاد العدم. لا اليوم كان أمس ولا اليوم أنا قلت إيش كلمة قلتها وضعت لها أمس
البوك
أي هذا من مفاسد لغة العجم دخلت علينا حتى في لغتنا. ترجم السؤال الأول أولا, يعني الأخت تسأل هل يجوز المرأة أن تغطي قدميها في الصلاة؟ قلنا بأن المرأة واجب عليها أن تغطي كل جسمها في الصلاة ما عدا الوجه والكفين, إلا بحضرة رجال أجانب ليسوا محارم لها, هنا يجب عليها أن تغطي حتى وجهها وكفيها ولو كان ذلك في المسجد الحرام. السؤال الثاني, تسأل الأخت عن جواز أخذ حبوب منع الحمل لفترة يعني مؤقتة, لم تحدد هي الفترة, يعني she did not say what is just short time. العلماء قالوا إذا كان من أجل تنظيم النسل هذا جائز. معنى ماذا تنظيم؟ العلماء said that if it is only to organize the يعني giving birth, then it is permissible. What is the meaning of that? قالوا يعني مثلا أن تأخذ سنة أو سنتين حتى تتمكن من إرضاع الأول، لأنه بالغالب إذا حصل حمل يجف الصدر، فهي تريد أن ترضع الولد. لكن بالغالب أن التي ترضع لا تحمل، لكن يحصل أن ترضع امرأة وتحمل، يحصل. فإذا أرادت أن تحتاط هنا، يعني we say if the woman wants to organize the pregnancy in order, for example, to breastfeed her first baby, her baby, for 2 years, and then she stops this type of tablets or whatever subject or whatsoever, then it is permissible, as the ulama said. لكن إذا كان من أجل أو إذا كان لمدة طويلة، 5 سنوات، 7 سنوات، 10 سنوات، هذا لا يجوز. But if it is for long terms, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, this is not permissible. وأما الحمد لله يعطيكم الله الصحة، وأما منع الحمل بالكلية فهذا حرام، حرمة مغلظة جدا، إلا لامرأة ثبت طبا أنها خطر عليها الحمل. As for preventing pregnancy forever, that is very strongly prohibited, except for a woman that it is proved medically that it is dangerous for her to get pregnant. ومع القول بجواز أخذ مانع الحمل لمدة قصيرة، فإن العلماء يقولون لا بد أن يكون باستشارة الطبيب الثقة، لا يضر المرأة. يعني all the علماء said that it is permissible for a woman to take some establish or whatsoever, but they say it must be under the supervision and recommendation of a very trustworthy doctor, so that there is no harm on this woman. وأحيانا قد يأتي الضرر حتى على الحمل القادم. And sometimes the harm can be even for the next pregnancy. لذلك ينبغي أن تحذر المرأة. That's why it is better for her to be careful. ونصيحتي دعوا الأشياء تمشي كما هي أفضل. And my advice, just let things go as if better. هذا أفضل. نعم والله.
بعض النساء يأخذون حبوب لوقف الدورة الشهرية للذهاب للحج.
نعم. So this lady is asking about some women before to take some type of tablets to stop bleeding. Stop bleeding for performing Hajj or Umrah. Is this permissible or not? The ulama said it is permissible. Sheikh Abdul Baz said it is permissible. Sheikh Azaymin says it is not recommended. He says not recommended. But Sheikh Ibn Baz was asked, and many other ulama were asked, and they said it is permissible for this purpose. كما قال شيخ الأز قلت أن بعض أهل العلم يقول أنه جائز أن تأخذ المرأة ما يمنع نزول الدم، ليس حبوب منع الحيض أو منع الحمل. يوجد الآن حبوب لمنع الدم خاصة لهذا الغرض، فقالوا إذا كان باستشارة طبيب ثقة أنه لا يضرها فإنه جائز. وهكذا حتى قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين. As I said, the Sheikh ibn Baz said that it is permissible, and Sheikh Uthaymeen said it is permissible with the consultation of a trustworthy doctor. والأولى أن تترك كما قال الشيخ ابن عثيمين. طبعا هو جائز، أن الشيخ ابن عثيمين أيضا له فتوى فيها. شيخ الإسلام تاني عاد فتوى من ذات شيء ذلك تشبه مسجد. لكن في أيامي ما كانوا يعرفون الحبوب وكذا، إنما كانوا يضعون مادة عشبية من الأسفل فتمنع نزول الدم. At the time of Shaykh Islam, they did not use to know this type of tablets, but they used to take some herbs and they put it from from the private part of the woman that caused the ear dry and does not bleed. He was asked about that and he said it is permissible. لكن هل هو الأفضل؟ But is it the better decision? الجواب لا. The answer is no. الأفضل أن تتركها طبيعتها. حصل مع انظر الآن. عائشة خرجت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وصفية خرجت مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وغيرهن من أمهات المؤمنين. عائشة وصفية وانت والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحج، أن أدر وارث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وكل واحدة منهن تتوقع أن يأتيها الحيض. And every one of them expects that or she become a menses. لكن الأغرب أن زوجة أبو بكر الصديق أسماء بنت عميس رضي الله عنهم أجمعين خرجت وهي حامل في الشهر التاسع في آخر أيام الشهر التاسع، وهذا لا يعقل أنها استرطى بالحمل إلى أن ترجع المدينة، بل تتوقع أن تلد في أي وقت. She went in the last moments and days of her pregnancy. She's expecting to give delivery to give birth any moment. ومع ذلك خرجت ونفست قبل أن تبرح الميقات. And she gave birth even before she leaves the ميقات. فقالت أرسلت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما قالت أرجع، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم علمها أن تبرأ شيئا عن نزول الدم على الثياب، ولم يأمرها أن ترجع مع أنها ستبقى بالدم على أقل تقدير 10 أيام 15 يوم، بعضهن إلى 40 يوم. Although she knows that she's going to be on bleeding at least 10 days, 15 days, and some of them goes up to 40 days. ومع ذلك ذهبت إلى الحج. Although that she went to the Hajj. فلا ننصح نقول جاهل لكن لا ننصح بأخذ الحبوب من أجل الحج. لأنها تستطيع أن تذهب وإذا جاء قبل الطواف تعمل كل الأعمال إلا الطواف حتى تطهر. ما طهرت وجاء وقت الرحلة العودة ولا تستطيع البقاء، قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية تترجى وتطوف طوافا واحدا يكفي على طواف الإفاضة وطواف الوداع. The woman should do as normal and once she's a menses if she's still in menses until the day of Ifada and she could not do the tawaf qudum, and even until she's leaving Mecca and now the flight is going and she has no place to stay, she cannot stay in Mecca, then Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said she just booked Bubinta and then she performed tawaf even if she's still in bleeding. طواف one only طواف and this will be enough for her طواف الإفاضة which is a pillar and طواف الوداع which is واجب. Other rituals of Hajj she can do even when she is still with the menses or with bleeding after birth, after giving birth she still can do. والله أعلم. ناخذ سؤال.
The last question from the same question, is it obligatory to wear niqab?
Yes. هل على النقاب المرأة النقاب ولا الحجاب؟
نقاب.
أنتم هنا عندكم مسميات حقيقة يعني شرعية لكن تستعملها استعمالات غريبة، مثل شورى تضعونها على الذين يقومون على أعمال المسجد، وهي ليس هكذا، وهي المستشارين الذين يسمونهم أنتم ترستس يعابير مش يزر لإسلام الترمينولوجيز that confuses يعني anybody come from the east like the term يعني for example شورى. You guys, you give Shura name to the people who يعني, take care of the daily affairs of the masjid. While the real Shura is called them trustees. And here, niqab, I'm sure that they mean hijab. I'm sure that they mean face cover. But niqab in Arabic, niqab in Arabic, is the face cover that has two holes. That is called niqab. That is called niqab. But the face cover, any face cover is called hijab. لا لا كل قول عز وجل كلموا إذا كلمتمونا إذا سألتمونا متاع فاسألونا من وراء حجاب، ليس حجاب 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 يعني يحجب كله. نعم ذاك خمار. نعم فأقول غطاء الوجه واجب سواء كان نقابا أو حجابا. I say it is obligatory whether it is حجاب أو نقاب. It is obligatory. والذين قالوا بأن غطاء الوجه ليس بواجب جانب الصواب. And those scholars who said that the first cover of the woman is not obligatory, they are not upon the right or proper opinion. لأننا يعني نقرأ قول الله عز وجل في هذه الآية وإذا سألتمهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب. أو when you are asked, when you ask them, who are them? أمهات المؤمنين, the mothers of believers. Of, يعني about anything, you ask them from behind the veil. طيب يعني أم المؤمنين يجب أن تحتجب وهي أمهم أم المؤمنين, والتي ليست لهم بأم لا يجب أن تحتجب. هذا شيء غريب, هذا شيء غريب. وأيضا يعني the mother of believers must cover, but who is not a mother of believers must not cover. يعني التي لا يجوز لك نكاحها يجب أن تتحجب منك, والتي يجوز لك نكاحها لا يجب أن تتحجب منك. هذا غريب. وأيضا يعني عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت رحم الله نساء الأمصار لما نزلت آية الحجاب تلفعن بموطهن كأنهن الغربان لا يعرفن من الغلس. Say, may Allah's mercy be upon the women of Al-Ansar. Once the ayah of hijab was descended, they covered themselves with their murat. Murat is a type of cloth that يعني, it's an extra cloth, like يعني, they put over. So they wrapped themselves with, she said, till they look like black crows. They were not recognized in the dark times, in the dawn. وأيضا يعني نقول بأن المرأة مأمورة أن تغطي شعرها. The woman is commanded to cover her face. Sorry, your hair. لماذا؟ Why, يا إخوان؟ نعم يا إخوان. Why؟ لماذا؟ The beauty and attraction, isn't it? طيب. you all are men. What attracts you more to a woman? Her hair or her face? So how we say she covers her hair but she doesn't cover her face? Sounds very, to me, sounds very strange. And even those ulama who said it is not obligatory, they said, but we recommend it. We recommend it. So my advice is for all the women to cover their faces. And we have a qa'idah, ikhwan. عندنا قاعدة. ما أنا نصيحتي لكل أخوات أن يغطين وجوههن بغض النظر عن الخلاف. Regardless to the different opinions of the scholars. وهنا عندي يعني توجيه قاعدة أفير يعني principle. I'll tell you that. في حديث النعمان بن بشير رضي الله تعالى عنهما يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that the halal thing, the lawful things are clear and the unlawful things are clear, but between them there are things which are of doubts, very doubtful things that many of the people do not know whether they are haram or halal. So whoever stay in the safe side and take protection, then he has protected his honor and his religion. هذه مسألة خلاف الآن بين العلماء. This is a matter of different opinions between the scholars. ماذا نصنع؟ نختار الذي يعجبنا؟ لا، ليس هذا هو الدين الجيد، الدين الصحيح. There is a different opinion between the scholars. Should we choose what we like? No, this is not the proper religion. وإنما نأخذ الأحوط لنا. But we take which is more safe for us. وبهذه المسألة الأحوط أن تحتجب المرأة. And in this issue, the safe is that the woman to cover. ثم لو قلنا هذا في بلاد الإسلام فكيف نقول في بلاد الكفار يا أخوان؟ كيف نقول هذا في بلاد الكفار؟ And we say that in the Muslim land. So how we say it in the non-Muslim land? بل إن العلماء قالوا إنه يفرق بين الأمة والحرة بغطاء الوجه. العلماء said that يعني the differentiation between يعني the slave female and the free female is by the face cover. أن الحرة تغطي, the free woman has to cover. فلذلك يا أخوان نقول أن الصحيح من أقوال العلم أن الواجب أن على المرأة أن تغطي وجهها. And that's why we say that the proper opinion amongst the scholars that the woman, Muslim woman, has to cover her face. نعم أخي.
They've made it law in certain places that the women are not allowed to do that. So what do they do?
As it is now a necessity, I mean they can't leave France. First of all, we said this is one of the disadvantages in living amongst the kuffar. What are you going to do? That's a problem. It's a real problem. That's why we say, Juan, try your best to escape, run away. Because, like in France, Muslims keep claiming, we want our rights. The woman in France walk almost naked, nobody says nothing. She is free. But once she wants to cover herself up, no. It's not allowed. SubhanAllah, where is the democracy and freedom and this and that? And these all lies that they raised up. I found it here in the UK more reasonable than it in France, who say that they are the republic number one in the world. But they are number one who prevent freedom from people. Now the women in France, if they can leave France, if they can go to a Muslim country, that's number one. Can't leave France to any other country which they allow her to cover, like here in the UK. Like here in the UK, they allow women to cover. If not possible, then she has to limit her exposure to the streets. And she, anyway, the woman has to limit her exposure to the streets, whether in France or in London or in Medina. Allah Ta'ala said, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ, and remain seated in your homes. But if she insists to stay here, she has to be, and she has to maintain that. She stays in the house. She stays in the house. She never goes out except for a real emergency. Wallahu a'lam.
No. السؤال الأول
سؤالاً ليس اثنين سؤالاً
السؤال الأول في امرأة هي تعرف امرأة أخرى وعندها جن فيها, الجن دخلت فيها وقالوا الجن راجل, فالمرأة تسأل
راجل أو رجل؟
راجل, راجل واحد.
لا ما يقال راجل, الراجل يعني الذي يمشي على رجلين, أما الذكر يقال عنه رجل.
وتسأل لمن الجن يكون ظاهر في المرأة, هل النسوان حولها تغطوا يلبسوا الحجاب الشرعي أو ممكن يلبسوا أي شيء؟
لا هو أخوهم لا يضر. يعني أنا أسألك, هل يوجد جن في البيت أو لا يوجد؟ سنقول لا تحجب طول الوقت, لا تخرجي ولا تقعدي ولا تقومي, هذا مبالغ عليه, هذا يكون مبالغ. لا أولا الجن لا يكون ظاهر. طيب
two women and one of them have jinn. So if they're in the room together, the one that has jinn, when the jinn becomes apparent, does the other woman have to cover up in front of him? The jinn's a man. That's the question. Yeah? So then the sheikh is going to translate himself.
But first of all, they have to scream at him, and they have to show him very ugly face, and they all in one sound say to him, go! To throw the jinn, and the jinn runs away. First of all, how come they see the jinn man? How come they see him? And you are saying that he's exposed. How come they see him?
No. Al-Rajul, يعني الرجل في الجن يقول, الجن يقول أنا ممكن أراكم, هم يعرفون, هم الجن يرى النسوان, فهل يغطوا ولا
لا؟ يقول اللهم نعوذ بك من خبث الخبائث, كما يقولون عند دخول الحمام وهو مكان الجن. They say, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الخبث والخبائث, the ذكر you do when you get to the toilet. I'm afraid that the issue of jinn becomes so wide, to limit between you and I. I do ruqya, okay, but I refuse to do ruqya in many cases, because they found that it's either now something psychological in this, or honestly between you and I, some of them are only acting, or I have jinn. Maybe he or she wants to use it as an excuse when they go foolish, or when they go mad, they want to have some excuse. And then they say, oh, wallahi, the jinn spoke. This is easy, the woman can't turn, the woman can't turn her voice to rock voice. Oh, jinn. It's easy, I'm really, surprising, the jinn who accuse Muslims are Muslims or kuffar, mostly kuffar, right? Why do they accuse Muslims? Because they don't want Islam to spread like mass. Wasn't it to be more seen during the lifetime of Rasulullah than it now? Because the shaitan was so angry to limits that he appeared to Quraysh in the form of man that they know, and he said to them, go fight Muhammad, me and my people will come with you. But they could not go and just, process the Muslims. And why the Shaitan didn't bring all of his jinn and come to Badr and process the Muslims? This is the Ikhwan. First of all, I see something, spread very widely now. In most of the world, they have jinn. Everybody has anything, has jinn. There are symptoms of jinn occupying a body of man. To limit that, I hear some raqi money and like that, it's become a business now. They say, there are four jinn in this body. One is living in the kidney, one is living in the whatever. Forest apartment? What type of thing is that? That's really funny. And, ya akhwan, where are we from the dhikr, ya akhwan? Where are we from Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'a ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa fis samaa'? Anyway, if the question, the answer was, so wide and so. But I mean to say that the jinn can see us all the time. Whether they are occupying a body of one of us or not, they can see us. ليس بالحمام فقط, everywhere. And that's why the Prophet said, if one of you come to enjoy his wife, he says Bismillah, so the shaitan does not join him. This type of operation. So that means that he sees you. And he said, the prevention between the eyes of the jinn and the aura of Bani Adam is Bismillah. You want to take off your clothes, you say Bismillah. They can't. Immediately a curtain comes, he can't see. The vision gone. Says vision goes, shh, finish. So, as I told you, that this is not correct, Allah. Right now, sir?
Yeah, okay.
Well, for me or for them?
For them, sir. The question is, you mentioned the importance of knowledge. What book should be studied by the student of knowledge? In what order? And if you could mention the most important books in each subject, Aqidah, Hadith, Fiqh.
I think we have a lecture. We have a lecture on seeking knowledge or something like, correct?
Yeah.
Alright?
We did one.
We are going to have the workshop. What is it? Da'wah workshop. Right. طيب هذا السؤال يقول انا ما ادري يا اخوان انا مشد الانجليزي ما ترجمت اكثر الاول لك فهمتموا؟ طيب الاخ هنا يسال يقول او الاخت ما ادري ما هي الكتب التي تنصحون بها طالب العلم في العقيده وفي الفقه يقول يعني I say أو أول أقولها بالعربي سمت الترجمة يعني العربي له أفضلية. I say that if he is the proper طالب العلم, I don't know what level he is, but if he is beginning, first thing to begin with is كتاب الله. You need to learn how to recite it. What rulings in it? As يعني ابن عمر رضي الله عنه said that we never used to move for 10 ayat until we know what rulings in it and we implement these rulings. We do them. نعم. إذا كان طالب مبتدئ فنقول عليك أولا بكتاب الله. تعلم قراءته, تعلم تفسيره, اعمل بما فيه. كما قال ابن عمر كنا لا يتجاوز أحدنا 10 آيات حتى نعلم ما فيها ونعمل بما فيها. هذه الطريقة, وليس الطريقة بالكثرة. العلم ليس بالكثرة يا إخوان. Knowledge is not يعني of the very much information you have. لا, العلم التقوى. Knowledge is تقوى. هذا هو العلم. الله يقول واتقوا الله ويعلمكم الله. العلم التقوى كما قال السلف. ليس العلم عن كثرة الرواية كما يقولون, ولكن العلم التقوى. لكن تعرف أشياء كثير ثم لا يجد عمل, مشكلة يا أخوة. أنا لازلت أسألكم, يعني you collect many information but where is the action? I continued asking you guys about the implementation. How many of you visited the graves? How many of you visited sick people recently? How many of you give sadaqah recently? How often you give sadaqah? Where are you from the adhkar of sabah, of morning and evening? Where are you from the adhkar of sleep in the jinn adhkar? Where are you from the yani neighborhood rights, the kinship rights, parents rights, etc.? All these things. If you don't, if you just learn and you don't act, this is bad, ya khwan. This will be a witness against you in the devil's action. You will not have the ilm of anything until you implement it. لن تستطيع أن تأخذ يعني فائدة من العلم الذي تتعلمه إلا أن تعمل به. العلم يهتف بالعمل, فإن أجابه إلى ارتحل. علم usually calls the عمل, the action. You have the knowledge, now the knowledge calls the action. Come. If the action comes, so you act, otherwise this knowledge will leave you. What is the meaning of leaving you? ما معنى يرتحل؟ لا يرتحل بجسده. العلم ربما يبقى معك, هناك علماء ضلالة كثير, لكن التقوى تذهب عنك فيصبح هذا العلم وبال عليك. التقوى leaves you, and then this knowledge that you collected would be a type of يعني ماذا تقولون وبال؟ A disaster, a cause of disaster on you. لذلك يا أخوان كما قلنا, إذا كان طالب علم مبتدئ يبدأ من كتاب الله, لكن لا يبدأ فقط هكذا يريد ينتهي منه. لا, يبدأ من أجل أن يتعلمه علم صحيح. العلم, كل العلم في كتاب الله, كل العلم الذي ترونه في المكتبات هو في كتاب الله. All the knowledge what you see in the all these big giant libraries is in the book of Allah. إذا استطعت أن تفهم كتاب الله وتعمل بكلام الله وتتأثر عندما تقرأ أو تسمع كلام الله, فإنك بإذن الله عالم. وإن كان هذا ليس له مكان عندك, ففت تماما أنك لو حفظت كل هذه الكتب لم يغني عنك شيئا. So if you can يعني يعني have the knowledge of the book of Allah and implement it, then you are the alim. You are the alim. But if you don't and have the all books memorized in your head, you're not a alim. You're not a alim. You are only a new computer. That's it. Look to this computer. I have in it the whole Quran, tafsir, hadith. Can I call this alim? Can I call it talib al-ilm? And you have to think, ikhwan, it's not how many books. If you want to study the ilm, don't ask about the books, but ask about the teacher. Look for the proper teacher and go sit with him, and he will tell you what books he will begin with you based on يعني, his observation, how what level you are on. فأنت لا تسأل عن ما هي الكتب, لكن اسأل عن المدرس الجيد, طالب العلم الجيد الذي عنده عقيدة صحيحة, دوان ذو عقيدة, الذي عنده تقوى, دوان هو ابن تقوى, ثم هو سيحدد لك من أين تبدأ, and then he will tell you from where you begin. أما أنت الآن نقول لك خذ كتاب كذا وكتاب كذا تشتريه وتقعد في البيت وتقرأ على نفسك, هذا ليس صحيح, هذا ليس صحيح. Until you know the books, you go buy them and you stay there home reading these books, which is not the proper way of seeking knowledge. كما قلت لك ابدأ بكتاب الله. جاء رجل إلى حلقة علم في زمن السلف. A man came to one of the circles of knowledge during the lifetime of the Salaf, and he wanted to join the Sheikh. يعني أراد أن يجلس, قال له الشيخ قم هل قرأت القرآن؟ قال لا. قال اذهب اقرأ القرآن ثم سيت. هل يو read the Quran? Read the Quran does not mean read it, but mean learn, learn it, learn how to read it, how learn how to understand it, implement it, and this will take of course months and maybe years. وهذا لا شك أنه سيأخذ من عشر ربما سنوات. هذا الرجل ذهب مدة ثم رجع. This man went for a long time and came back. فأراد أن يجلس, فقال له الشيخ, he wanted to sit, and the sheikh said to him, هل قرأت العربية؟ قال ارجع. قال العربية متى؟ He said to him, he asked him, did you learn Arabic? He was Arab. He was Arab. كان عربيا, لكن المقصود هل درست قواعد اللغة العربية وكذا وكتبها حتى تفهم. So he was Arab, but meaning that did you learn how, يعني did you learn or did you study the books of the يعني grammar, the language like that, so you understand what is said in the circle. قال لا. He said no. قال ارجع اقرأ العربية ثم. He went, he started Arabic and then came. فهذا يا إخوان هو شأن السلف. أما الفوضى الحاصلة اليوم, كل واحد يأخذ كتاب وكتابين ويسمع طالب علم, كل واحد يأتي عند شيخ يعني يبقى عنده مدة, الشيخ لا يدري ما مستواه ولا هو يعرف ماذا قال الشيخ, قال مدة يقول أنا من طلاب الشيخ. هذه مشكلة. And this is a real problem. فأسأل الله بمن يكرمه أن يرزقنا وإياكم العلم النافع والعمل الصالح, وأن يرزقنا قبل ذلك وبعده وفيما بين ذلك الإخلاص له سبحانه واتباع هدي رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأن يجعلنا وإياكم مخلصين مخلصين رحماء مرحومين, وأن يجعلنا وإياكم من المفلحين, والله أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.